Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Mem Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, Ochal. If somebody ate a kezayis of the Korban Pesach tzli when it was roasted, so it was prepared properly, but he ate it miboy joim, he ate it on Erev Pesach chayiv. He'll be chayiv malchus because the Korban Pesach is supposed to be eaten in the evening. And this individual who ate the Korban Pesach in the morning, in the afternoon, he's Chayiv Malkus. Similarly, Och Kezayis No, B'Shech Shecha. In our previous year, we discussed quite extensively that the Torah tells us that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted. And when we spoke about the Korban Pesach being roasted, it has to be roasted completely. No, we explained, was half cooked, a third cooked. So if he violates that Isser, he's also Chayiv Malchus. Says the Gemara, as we analyze the Braisa, Ketani Tzli Dumi Dano. The Torah, the Braisa, connected the Isser of eating the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach Tzli, similar to Isser of eating No at night. Man No Belav. If somebody eats the Korban Pesach when it's not completely roasted, the Torah says he's Chayiv Malchus. Aft Tzli, similarly, if somebody eats Tzli, Miboy Joim, the halacha will be that he's Chayiv Alav. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Bishlama, regarding eating the Korban Pesach, No, on the night of Pesach, we could understand. Because Ksiv, the Torah explicitly tells us, Al Toichel B'mena No, that we may not eat the Korban Pesach when it's in the state of No. But ask the Gemara, El Tzli Menolon, where do we know that if you ate the Korban Pesach roasted on Erev Pesach, Menolon, that you chayiv alav? Answers the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the Torah regarding the Korban Pesach says, V'ochlas abosur belayla hazeh. So we learn from this pasuk belayla in, that the Korban Pesach may be only consumed belayla at night, b'yoyim loy, not by day. But ask the Gemara, this clearly is a strong indication that it's also to eat the Korban Pesach by day, even if it was prepared properly. However, this is not an explicit lav. We only understand this lav based on the say. The Torah says eat it by night, so we extrapolate that we may not eat it by day. And ask the Gemara, we have a rule, call lav abba mechlal asay, a lav that is extrapolated based on an assay, has the status of an assay, and you don't get Malchus, answers the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, Hamani, who is the opinion of this Braisa? Rabbi Yehuda. It's the Tanya, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya. The Braisa teaches us, regarding the Pasuk that the Torah teaches us, what happens if somebody's magdish an animal which is about mum. So the Torah says, V'shavase, Sarua. Sarua means that one eye of this animal is larger than the other eye, or not only the eye, any limb, any organ, that if one is larger than the other. The kolot is, we know that a kosher animal has split hooves. This animal does not have split hooves. The Torah says, the dover tasoisoi, you could use it for the dover, you could be magdishit and sell it, and the money will be used for Hegdish. However, you can't use this animal itself, you can't use the animal itself as a carbon. But now we learn from this that if somebody's magdish an animal, which is a balmum, we can't use that animal itself for bedek habayis. The animal itself for carbon, we give for the bayis. However, let's say somebody's magdish an animal which is a healthy animal. He's explaining, v'yata madras tamimul bedek habayis, you can't take such an animal and be magdishit for bedek habayis. A healthy animal can only be used as a carbon. Says Rabbi Yehuda, mekan amar kol madras tamimul bedek habayis, if somebody does indeed a healthy animal for bedek habayis, over, he's over the assay of Nadova Tasai. Ainli Elabase. So this was a laugh, this is an essay. How do we know that we over even a lav? Tamaloimer, because the pasuk at the beginning of this parasha, the pasuk that we just read, says v'yadab Hashem amoy shalemer. So from here we learn limud al kol parasha kula. We learn from this shehei b'loisa say that if somebody is over, he's over a lav. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Labakapura. My mashma. How do we know from the pasuk of Yadab Hashem Moy Shalemer that was speaking about a laugh? Omaloi, so he responded. The ksiv, the word lemer stands for loy nemer bedvarim. That the Torah meant to say that if you do this, loy, you're not supposed to do this, you're over a laugh. By Rav Amri, how do we know from the word lemer that it represents a laugh? Because he says the lemer stands for lav amor. Don't do this. But what, according to Rabbi Yehuda, wherever we have a mitzvah to say that is preceded with the word lamar, then it has the status of a loisa say. So similarly, suggests the Gemara, the Torah over here by Karban Pesach begins the parasha v'yoyim Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim lamar, and then the pasuk continues to say v'ochlas abasa b'layla hazeh. And based on that pasuk v'ochlas abasa b'layla hazeh, we learn b'layla we eat the Karban Pesach, at night we eat the Karban Pesach, v'loy b'yoyim and not b'night, not by day. And since the parasha began with the word lemor, lav emor, or loyam or loy nemar, that's how we understand that it should be considered that somebody who did eat it before Pesach is over a lav. Tosfos says in Divrei Maskil lemor that what the Gemara does not mean to say is that every time the Torah uses the word lemor, we should understand that it means a lav. That's not the kavanah of this Gemara. What Tosfos says, the way to understand this Gemara is that where the Torah uses the word lemor, and not only does the Torah use the word lemor, but the subject that is being discussed in the pasuk could easily be interpreted that it's speaking about a lav, so then we say it's a lav. So of course, the Mefarshim asked the question, the Torah says lemor. The definition of the word lemor means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu lemor, to tell Klal Yisrael whatever we're discussing. So how do we take a word lemor, a fairly simple word in the Torah, and now reinterpret it to mean that it's a lav? So the Sefer Karban Aaron I saw says that we have to look at the entire pasuk. The pasuk says, "Dabal Aaron v'albonav v'alkol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta." So the Torah already says that we should tell all of Klal Yisrael this din. Why did the Torah need lemor? Why did the Torah need to repeat itself? It must be to teach us a lav. So, ask the Chasam Sofer on this explanation. So, the way to understand it now is it's not because wherever the Torah uses the word lemor, it means a lav. But rather, what it actually means is that the redundancy, the fact that the Torah already said that this should be said to everybody, lemor is an indication that the Torah is trying to teach us something extra that's coming to teach a lav. So then the Gemara should have focused on the fact that it's redundant, not focused on the word lemor. So the Chasam Sofer says that indeed, that is the main point of the pasuk. And he says that even by Karban Pesach, the words are redundant. And therefore, since the words are redundant, and he says that's what you have to say is Pshat in the Gemara, even though it's sort of not there. So we learned the Mei Tashmisha Shalachtoim, that the baker would put his hands into cold water to cool them off as he's baking, are considered chametz and should be, and they can be machmetz very quickly, anything that's put into them, and should be spilled out. Tani Chada, says the Gemara, we learned the one b'raisa, shoifchim v'mokam adrin. They should be specifically spilled in a place on an incline where they will run down. We shouldn't Purim and a flat ground that has, as Rashi Divrei Mashkel Esperin says, has cracks where they could accumulate. V'tanya idach, but there's another brisa that says shayfchim b'makom eshbayrin, that they may be poured even in a flat area. Answers the Gemara, loikasha. Hadin the fish of the kavu, if there's a lot of water and they accumulate, so therefore we can't allow you to pour them in a flat area because you're going to have an accumulation of chametz of water. Hard the loyni fish the loykavu, but if there's not a lot of water, even if we pour them on a flat on the flat ground, it doesn't make a difference. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Siman Tuf Nun Tes Sif Dalet says that this entire discussion is only after the zman iser chametz. On Erev Pesach, after the zman iser, we have to be careful not to let such kind of water accumulate. However, the Bach and the Taz disagree, and they say that even before the zman iser chametz, we may not cause on Erev Pesach any time the accumulation of chametz to the water. Furthermore, the Meiri and the Rekeach say that this is only if you're letting them accumulate in your own backyard, in your own chatzar. And because now you have an accumulation of chametz to go water. But to pour them out in the Rishus HaRabim, there, even in a flat area, even a decent amount of water is not a problem. However, the Magen Avraham disagrees. And he says that even in the Rishus HaRabim, one should not allow an accumulation of chametz to go water. And he says, moreover, since we're talking, as we just said, at least according to the Shulchan Aruch, that it's after the Zman Isser, so since it's after the Zman Isser, we have to be very careful not to let any chametz to accumulate. And the Prima Gadlan points out, because as we've discussed in the first parak, once it's after the Zman Isser, we can't be mafgarit. And since we can't be mafgarit, we have to be careful not to let an accumulation of chametz. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Isha lo tolush el b'mayim shalanu. A woman should only use for preparing the dough for the matzah water that was left overnight. And our Gemara teaches us here the halacha mayim shalanu, water that was left overnight. And there are many explanations all in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. The basis of the Gemara is that water which was not kept overnight has a tendency to be warm. And as we learned earlier in our perek, you may not use poishrim, you may not use warm water, because warm water makes the chimetz process happen quicker. So Rashi, explaining based on a Gemara that we're going to have later on the Masechta, the Tzadik Dalet, says that during the winter, the water in the underground wells tend to be warm. So therefore, the halach is that one should draw the water before the evening and leave it standing in a vessel overnight to give it time to cool down before using it for making the matzahs. The Rosh, citing a Tshuvas Rashi, says that according to Rashi, we could come up with two leniencies. Number one, Rashi specifically spoke about water from a well. But what about water from a river? That we wouldn't have that requirement. Because the Gemara that Rashi relies on only speaks about wells and says the rivers don't have this issue that they're warm during the winter. Secondly, according to Rashi, if somebody would draw well water in the morning and allow it to stand in a vessel all day, then he would be allowed to use the water that evening. Because all Rashi, based on the way he's learning the Gemara, requires is that there be a 12-hour period where it could cool down. The Urayim has a different explanation. He says that the temperature of well water goes up during the nighttime. And therefore, what the Gemara is interested in is that we draw water for matzah before nightfall. So according to this opinion, is that one draws the water at the beginning of the evening, during Bein HaShemashos, before night, since all day it's cool. So according to the Urayim, you would be immediately allowed to use that water. Because all the uranium is trying to accomplish is that we shouldn't use that water. We shouldn't use water that was underground by night. This water that we just took was not underground by night. The Ran explains that the very act of drawing water generates heat because you're agitating the water. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference by well water. It doesn't make a difference water from a river. When you drew the water out, you agitated it and you made it hot. And therefore, you need to give it 12 hours to cool down. The Smak, quoting Rabbeinu Yitzchak, says that what you need is the cool northerly night wind is needed to cool water before using it for matzah. So according to this, it has no difference what type of matzah you're using. You need to leave the water out for overnight, allowing the water to stand for a 12-hour period during the daytime would never be sufficient. You need the night wind to cool it down. We just quoted many different opinions of the Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. When we look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch brings down this din of Mayim Shalanu, it's a halacha that we need to, when Simon Tuf Nun Hei, Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, takes all of these considerations, takes all of these opinions into consideration, and he's machmer in all of the shitas. And therefore, his opinion is that all water must be kept overnight, whether it's drawn from a well or from other sources. It has to be stand overnight, regardless when it was drawn. And Rama adds that the right thing to do is to draw the water at the end of the day. That's when the water is coolest. Leave it overnight. And after you leave it overnight, then it can be used for matzah. There's an interesting tshuva from the Shalat Tshuva Shevet HaLevi, Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Hei. And he says, somebody asked him, perhaps to accomplish Mayim Shalanu, we should be able to take the water whenever we want out from the well, from the river, and then just put it into a freezer, which will certainly cool down the water. So he says that we have no right to, he's not ready to be mekel. He says, Chazal taught us that this is the way to use the water for making the matzah. We shouldn't come up with any new inventions. Says the Gemara Darsh Rav Masna b'Pupanaya. Rav Masna gave a drush in the city of Pupanaya that everybody should use Mayim Shalanu. But the people misunderstood his intention. They thought he meant you have to use only my water. Rav Masna's water is the only water that can be used for matzah baking. The next day, everybody brought their pitchers and came to him and said, okay, we need Mayim Shalanu. He said, you misunderstood me. What I meant to say was that I meant water, as we just finished explaining, was left overnight, but not my own water. So, of course, the Mefarshim ask, what's the purpose of teaching us this Gemara, that these people made a mistake? So one pshat that many explain, the Sfas Emes explains, that the Gemara is teaching us a very important lesson. The lesson the Gemara is teaching us is that when a Rav says a drasha, he should be careful to say it in a way that everybody understands what he said. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, if you don't say Mayim Shalanu, which could be misinterpreted. I saw that there's a story that the Chofetz Chaim once had to go to the city of Vilna to have a meeting with Rav Chaim Oizer. And he came back very, very late, and he came to shul in the yeshiva in Radin the next day late to davening. It was before Baruch Hu, but he came late to davening. And the Chofetz Chaim said, after davening, he got up, and he explained to all the yeshiva bachurim that they should understand that the reason he came late is because he had this very important meeting with Reb Chaim Moiser, and he came home very late, And that's why it caused him to get up a little later than usual. But not that anybody should think that he just overslept or just getting up late. So the Bachrim asked Rav Chaim Oizer, why do you have to tell us this? You don't have to explain yourself. She says, no, I do have to explain myself. And he quoted our Gemara, where our Gemara teaches us that they went out of the way to explain themselves, that nobody should misunderstand that because if you don't explain yourself, we see people will misunderstand Mayim Shalonu. The Chavistas says that the lesson of our Gemara is that they had a Munas Chachamim. He got up and Ramasna got up and gave a drasha that you have to use Mayim Shalonu. They understood that Mayim Shalonu means water that's owned by him. So instead of saying, what's he saying? Why is his water special? They went with Amunas Chachamim. They said, if this is what the Rav said, then we have to do what Chachamim said. And we don't have room to ask questions. And I saw that Mefarshim actually take this a step further. They said, you know, why do Chazal want to teach us this concept of Amunas Chachamim strictly in our Gemara? So I saw the Mefarshim explain, because somebody could start debating that is this really true, that water that's left overnight is what's cooler and better for making matzah? But what is our approach supposed to be? Our approach is supposed to be that whatever Chazal tell us is what we are supposed to do and not ask questions. The Pnei Menachem actually points out that we see from Shas that the people who lived in Papanaya were actually Talmid Chachamim. So how did they come to make this mistake? So he said that the lesson, because there's a tremendous lesson in our Gemara. He says, when we think about matzah, we spoke in our perek, the matzah is lechem oini. Lechem oini represents poor man's bread. And what they were trying to show was that we have to act in a modest and a humble way in all of our actions when we're eating matzah. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about. Is this indeed lechem oini? And when we take that approach, that's when we will be doing the right thing. I saw another pshat in this Gemara from the Shar Sholem from Bells, when the Gemara here is teaching us that we're supposed to use Mayim Shalonu. He explains that on Rosh Hashanah, we know that people do tashlich. They take they throw the aveiros, so to speak, into the water. Or Rosh Hashanah, we do tshuva meyira. Somebody does tshuva from yira, so his zedoinus, the aveiros that he did b'mezid, fall into the category of being a shogeg. But in Pesach, he explains, we do tshuva mehava. Since we do tshuva mehava, so that's a much higher madrega, and the aveiros that we do become zuchiyos. So the aveiros that on Rosh Hashanah we threw away because they're still aveiros, on Pesach we want to get those aveiros back because now they are mitzvahs. So that's why we're supposed to take the Mayim Shalonu and use that for baking matzahs. Dorash Rava, Ish Loi Tolish, a woman should not prepare the matzahs, B'makom Chama, in a place where the sun is shining. Again, because since the sun is shining, there's a real consideration that the sun will heat up the matzah. And the Rishonim point out, based on the Gemara Masechta Yuma, that even when you have a cloudy day, the sun is really shining. And therefore, even on a cloudy day, one should not bake the matzah, one prepare the matzah outdoors. Furthermore, like b'chamechama, one should not use for matzah water that got heated up in the sun, because again, the water that got heated up in the sun is going to cause the chimutz to happen quicker. And Rashi, the very mask of Elois, points out that they should not, certainly, we should not use water that was heated on the fire. Furthermore, says the Ritva, that what we're saying, that water that got heated should not be used, what it means to say is that we're not allowed to use that water even after they cool down. Once they were heated up on the fire or in the sun, that water should not be used. Water, Rashi explains, is that the water that's left on the bottom of the boiling of the pot with the heated water, that water should not, that water should never be used, because again, even when it's not never got heated, that is hot water. The Rif explains, based we spoke about this earlier, that water that was agitated should not be used because the agitation creates heat. Furthermore, says the Gemara v'lo yisagbi yodim in a tanner, the woman who's preparing the matzah should be constantly working with the matzah. This is what's known as asik. Achitigma is kolapas, because by constantly working with the matzah, that prevents the matzah from becoming chametz. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, what if that's what it means, that she has to be working with the matzah the entire time. So the Rebbeinu David asks, why does the Gemara say, the Gemara should have said, like, takbi yodim an isar. Why does the Gemara add the words man a tanner? So he explains that we're concerned that the person is going, if the person who's preparing the matzah is going to take a break during the baking of the matzah, they may leave it too long and become chametz. So like tagbi yodim and a tanner means that the only thing this person should be doing, the person who's working with the oven, is putting the matzah and working with the oven and not do anything else. V'tzricha shnei kelim, every woman who's preparing matzah, who's baking matzah, should have two bowls of water. Echad shemek tafes ba, one that she puts her water hands into and uses the water to put on top of the matzah, and the other hand that she uses, as we spoke about earlier, that she puts her hands in to cool off her hands, but she should not use the water that she is cooling her hands off with to put on the matzah, because that water became chametz stick. The Al-Sheikh explains this Gemara. He says that we were speaking about a person, and the person who's doing a mitzvah, learning Torah, should say, well, I've reached a very high madrega, and therefore I don't have to worry about the Yetzer Hara. I don't have to be on the constant lookout. That's why the Al-Sheikh says, our Gemara says, V'loy tagbiya yodim in a tanner. Even if a person has been successful, tanner, to burn the Yetzer Hara, so to speak, out of their system, the halacha is loy tagbiya yodim natanar. That person should never stop. One must always be vigilant in being concerned that the Yetzer Hara should not be able to prevail over him. Ibailu, so ask the Gemara, Avra Velosha, if somebody used warm water to make matzah, mahu, what would be the halacha with that matzah? Says the Gemara, And I saw that the Rosh says that the question that the Gemara is posing is not only on the hot water. We just learned many halachas about the baking of matzah. What will be the halacha if one violated these halachas? Says the Gemara, Mazutra Amamat Mutter. As long as we don't see that the dough is chametz, we could be lenient. Ravashi Amar Asur. Ravashi says that we may, that the matzah is Asur. Amar Azutra Mino Aminallah. From where do I not take this halacha that even with the evidence no good? The Tanya, Ein loisin asorim b'Pesach. We discussed earlier in our parak that one should not soak the barley on Pesach. V'm losas, if they did, this baku, if they split open, so that is a proof of chimutz. Therefore, the asurim, loin is baku, but if they didn't split open, the mutter. Chazal said they were not allowed to do l'sisa. So from here we see that even though you didn't do what Chazal said, the matzah could still be fine. Ravashi says, yes, it clearly teaches us that halacha regarding l'sisa. However, ata kula chada mechisa mechsinu, were all of these halachas said the same way? Heichad itma itmar, heichad alay itma alay itmar. We can't prove one halacha from another halacha. And where Chazal said that you may not do it, where it may not be done, their halacha may be that indeed you're never allowed to do it under any circumstances, and if you did it, the matzah wouldn't be good. Where Chazal didn't say it, they didn't say it. So Rashi explains that the issue here is that all of these halachas are a knas. And since they made a knas, so now the question is, under what circumstances did Chazal make the knas? Did they only make the knas b'shogig? Did they make the knas b'mezid? Did they only maybe, perhaps I saw some rishonim suggest, make the knas for the person who baked the matzah, or did a knas apply to everyone? Hadron loch kol shah. Our Mishnah and Gemara begin the discussion about two types of chametz. Chametz noiksha and taruvas chametz. The definition of chametz noiksha, as Rashi will explain on Daf Mem Gimel, Divrei Maskel Man, is that it's not full, it's the definition of noiksha is that it's not good chametz. Now, I saw that Rishonim explain it's not to be understood that it's totally non-edible. Because if the matzah was so bad that it was totally non-edible, then everybody would agree that that is usur. Rather, it's not edible like regular chametz. The Aruch explains that the definition of chametz noiksha is that it became chametz without yeast. The Ritva says that anytime you have chametz that's not edible, it doesn't have to be any royal achil klal, but it's not edible, that's considered chametz noiksha. The Magen Avraham, in discussing chametz noiksha, says that it has to be something that was never edible. Because if at one point it was edible, then it would have fallen into the category of chametz, gomer, and nothing could take it out. The Prima Gadim, in discussing chametz noiksha, says that there are three categories of chametz noiksha. One is that it never really became full-fledged chametz. We're going to learn in our perek different simonim, different ways of knowing that something is chametz. This is something that did not become full-fledged chametz. Another definition is that it was chametz that was never edible. And the third definition is that it was at one point edible, and then it became in a royal achilas adam. All of these are considered, says the Prima Gadim, in the category of chametz knoiksha. So says the Mishnah of Eila Ovrim. So according to Rashi, the iser of chametz knoiksha, the iser of taruvas chametz, is a full-fledged iser on Pesach. And somebody who eats, who has chametz noiksha in their possession is over by Yiroa Baal Yimotze. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that we're not allowed to eat chametz noiksha, certainly, but there's no iser by Yiroa Baal Yimotze on chametz noiksha. So begins the Mishnah, Ve'elu Oivrim. So the Tzlach points out, why does the Mishnah begin with the word, with the letter Vav, a continuation? So he says that we just discussed in the last Gemara, in Perikol Shah, the Mei Tashmisha Shonachtim Yishavchu, that the water that the baker puts his hands into while he's baking should be poured out. We have to destroy that. And our Mishnah continues, that type of water we're concerned has chametz, and therefore our Mishnah is a continuation that chametz noiksha, also taruvas chametz, have the same halacha. They do ask the question, what that makes more sense according to Rashi, that takes such a strong approach. But Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam, that takes a lesser approach, the Vav is harder to understand. So now, is there a chiyuv bedikas chametz on chametz noiksha? So the Rosh says, we go back to what we discussed in the first parak of our Masechta. Why is there a halacha of bedikas chametz? So one explanation was that we shouldn't come to eat the chametz. If we're going to have the chametz on Pesach, then we may come to eat it. Chametz noiksha, says the Rosh, nobody's going to eat. And since nobody's going to eat, we have no concern that you should have to do bedikas chametz or chametz noiksha. Bittel would be enough. But according to the other Rishonim that take the position that we have to be concerned that you don't want to have chametz in your property, we don't want to rely on bittel alone because maybe he didn't do the bittel properly. And certainly if we follow the opinion of Rashi, which, for the record, is also the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tuf Mem Beis Sif Aleph, that the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Rashi, that you over by your rabbi matzah a chametz noikshe and teruvus chametz, and if we're only going to rely on bittel, we need to be concerned that maybe he didn't do the bittel properly. Therefore, the halacha is, according to that explanation, you would have to do bedikas chametz even on chametz noikshe and a teruvus chametz. Ve'elo oivrim bePesach. If you have this in your home on Pesach. So again, what's the point of teaching us the Pesach? So the Tzlach answers, according to Rashi, it's very understandable. Because Rashi is saying that our Mishnah is teaching us that there's an Issa by Yiroh, by Yimotzei, on this type of chametz. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even though we may not eat chametz already from Erev Pesach, the Issa by Yiroh, by Yimotzei, only begins on Pesach. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us, you're going to be over by your rabbi, your matzah, but you're only over by your rabbi, your matzah, by Pesach, on Pesach itself. Kutach HaBavli is a type of a dip that they used to make in Bavel that was made out of whey with pieces of bread. Shecher HaModei is beer that they made in Modai that was made out of barley. Chometz HaDoimi is the vinegar that they made in Edom, and they used to use barley to make it. V'zeisam ha-mitzri, there's a type of a drink that they made in Mitzrayim for refuah that had in it teruvus chametz. When we speak about teruvus chametz, the Rishonim discuss how much chametz do you have to have. So Rishonim point out, regarding the isser of eating chametz, you're not over the isser midaraisa, only if there's a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. Then you're over for eating chametz on Pesach. But even if it doesn't have a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, it's still, as our Gemara is teaching us, you can be over by your raw and by your matzah. Many mefarshim say that the four types of chametz noiksha and taruvus chametz that were just mentioned by our Mishnah represent the different golis. We know the Klal Yisrael were in four golosin, Bavel, Modai, Edoim, Mitzrayim, and the Teresh Shloim explains that our Mishnah is teaching us that by one fulfilling the halachas of Pesach properly, the Lavim and the Esim, what he will be able to do is that he will be Zoicha, that he will taka go out from golis. And in fact, I saw that the Shem Shmuel points out that the number four, which is, as our Mishnah identifies, four different types of foods, is a very important number when we speak about Hilchos Pesach, very important when we think about what we're trying to accomplish with Pesach. And therefore, he suggests, we know that the halacha was that the Korban Pesach was supposed to be prepared 4 days before Pesach. Again, the number four, in the way the Farish Shloim explains, that it represents to remember the way that we should get out of, that we should be taken out of all of our golus, plays a very central role when we think about Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Zomen Shatzavoyim, they used to have water, and they put into it bran, and that was used for dyeing leather. Amelin Shatabachim, it was a bread that was made out of grain that wasn't completely ripened. Koilin Shatzavoyim, it was a glue that they used to make out of grain. Reb Elazar are all in the category of Chametz Neitzah. Reb Elazar Ma'av Tachzish Dei Noshim, perfume makeup that was used by women that they used to put on the body because they also had chametz in them. Zeh klal kol shu mimin dogim, anything that's made from something that's just grain, hareza oiva bePesach, you're oiva on Pesach for bayirah bayimotzah, and hareil bazar bazhara, but if you eat them, you're oiva alav. However, ein bohem shem karis, you're not. There's no chiv karis for eating them. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. Shlosh Devarim Nemru B'Kutach HaBavli. Our Mishnah spoke about Kutach HaBavli. So it tells us the Braisa, there were three things said regarding Kutach HaBavli. B'tantum HaSalev, it makes the person, it takes away his wisdom. B'sam HaSanayim, it causes blind. Or Machash HaSaguf, and it causes the person to be in general weak. B'tantum HaSalev, B'shum D'Shiyu B'Dechalba. As we discussed, in the Kutach HaBavli, there is whey, and whey, the Gemara says, has the problem that it affects the heart. B'sam sanayim mishum milcha, the salt, machash esaguf mishum kumtsa the imla, because of the moldy bread. Tana Rabbanan, shlosh dvar marvim hazevel, three things cause that a person should need to use the bathroom often. The kaifen sakayma, it affects the pasture. It takes the 500th away from one's vision. Elam peskiber, bread that's made not out of clean flour. V'sheich chodesh v'yerichai. Tana Rabbanan. Shloisha dvarim mematim esazevel. There are three things that cause that a person should not need to use the bathroom. The zoykum esakayma, that he makes this pasture better. Umeir esanayim. Vela and Pasnakim, eating bread made out of fine flour, basa shamein, fatty meat, v'yayim mushin, and old wine. Says the Marpas Yayin, the smida, bread that's made out of fine flour, basa shamein, the tzvirta de la'iftach, a goat that never had a baby, v'yayim yoshin, atik atika, it has to be, as Rashi explained, at least 3 years old. Says the Gemara, kamila de ha'miala lahai. The Gemara says there are many foods that are fine for one thing and kosh lahai, or the kosh lahai mal lahai. As we know, many types of medicines have side effects, and they may be good for one thing, and they're not good for another thing. Except bar mizangvila retiva, moist ginger, or papilla arichta, long peppercorns, or pasnakia, or basa shamein, the malakula gufei. So I saw that the Shem Shmuel, I saw that the Teresh Shleim explains, the Pasuk says, Yishlach dvoroi v'yirpoem v'yamalat mishichoysam. What the Pasuk is saying is that Al Gemara just said that many times somebody takes a refuah and it helps for one thing, and it affects adversely for another thing. But the Pasuk says in Tehillim, the Yishlach Devaroi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that sends us the refuah, the Yirpeim, the person has a total refuah, the Yamalad Mishichaisam, and he need not be concerned for any side effects. Sheikh Amadei, so we spoke about Sheikh Amadei being a problem on Pesach. The reason is the Ramabei may Sari, they used to put into it the liquid that comes out of barley. The chaymetz adami, that type, the doimi vinegar, the shadi beisari, they put barley into it. Amar Rav Nachman, metchil kishem mivin the sochem mi Yehuda, when they originally used to bring wine from Yehuda to use as the nesochem on the mizbeach, lohayayin shal Yehuda machmetz, that wine never got sour. Only if you wanted to make it into vinegar, you had to put in barley. That was called chaymetz. That was the way vinegar was produced. However, v'achshav, nowadays, the wine of the
Akum, they live in Edom, Machmetz doesn't get sour. Achinois no tachem sarin. The karnos are chaymetz Edom. L'kaim shenemer, what is the lesson? The pasuk says, imolei chereva, that the situation of Klai Yisrael versus the situation of the Umetz Oilem is exactly inverse. Imolei zu chereva zu, imolei zu chereva zu. If Klai Yisrael is on top, then the Umetz Oilem are on the bottom, and vice versa. As was told to Rivka, Klai Yisrael and Edom, Yaakov and Edom have this relationship. Tanya Amar Yehuda, Yehuda Brishoina, Halakei Chaimetz Me'amaretz. If somebody buys vinegar from Me'amaretz, ain't it tzarech la'asron? Even though normally when you buy pears from Me'amaretz, you do have to take off ma'aser. Here you don't have to take off ma'aser. Ne'ishchazaka ain't a bar elam atemed. Wine never became vinegar. For wine, there's a chiv ma'aser. Temed is when you take water and you let the pits of the grape or the sediment of the wine that there's no chiv ma'aser turn into water, turn into this temed drink. So there's no chiv ma'aser. And we know that all vinegar came from that. However, nowadays, nowadays you do have to take off ma'aser because cheskosoi in the bottom of the yayin, vinegar only comes from wine, and when you're buying it from Amoritz, we need to be concerned that they didn't take off Maisa properly. Ask the Gemara, the Savar Yehuda Temed Labar Surihu, does Rabbi Yehuda indeed hold that you don't have to take off Maisa from Temed? Ask the Gemara, Tan Nan, didn't the Mishnah Masech the Maisers, Perukei, Mishavav, teach us that I'm a Temed, V'nosem Mayim B'mida, is somebody making Temed, and he puts in a certain amount of water, and then he takes out and he finds the exact same amount of liquid as he started off with, potter. He doesn't have to take off any meiser because there's no new wine here. Rav Yehuda Mechayiv. So you see Rav Yehuda is Mechayiv on Temed. Says, even if you have to take off meiser from Temed, but given that Temed is such a cheap product, we need not be concerned that they're not going to take off mice from Temed. It's not a big loss. We have to be concerned that they're even not going to take off from Temed. If it's made out of the sediment of the wine, that there's a chiv to take off mice. But if it was made out of the wine pits, out of the grape pits, there's no chiv, and that's the nafkamina. We spoke about Zaysim and Mitzrim. Ask them where my Zaysim and Mitzrim. Tanar Rabbi Yosef. Tulsa Sari. It's a third barley. Tulsa Kortami. A third Karkum. The Tulsa Milk and a third salt. Rapapa Mapik Sari. Rapapa, when he made it, would not use barley. Or Miley Chiti. He would use grain, wheat. The Simonach. Who says Chitim and who says Sari? Sisni. There was a Keli that was called Sisni that has the Rabbi Yossi has the Samach in his name, and also he says Sa'ari, which sounds like the Samach. Taralu, they would let all these different ingredients soak together, then the Kalaluhu, and then they would put them over fire, the Tachnaluhu, and then they would grind it up, the Shoslum Adifkavat Sarta, and the time to drink it is during the period from Pesach to Shavuos. The Komet, somebody who's constipated, marpele, it helps him be able to use the bathroom. Or the rafi, and somebody who has a problem with diarrhea, makvedle, it constipates him. L'choyle l'isha ubra, but a person who's not well, or a pregnant woman, sakanta, it's sakana for them to drink this drink. Tzoymesh atzavom, says the Gemara Hocha Targimo, in Bavodei said, Mayim de Chivri, it's water of the bran, the Tzavaba Leboi, that they used to use to color the hides of animals. Vamelin Shatabachim, what is that? Pas Tvua Shlevei Shlish, they make bread out of grain that didn't ripen to a third, Menicha Pi Gedera, and it was put on top of the pot in which they cooked meat, Veshavas Azuma, to absorb the extra foam and the extra non-purities that were in the food. The Kailan Shal Seifrim, Hachat Targum Puro Deshbuchay, it's the glue that people who worked with leather used to make glue out of wheat. Rav Simi Mechuzama said to Pulin Shabbanai Sashirin, girls, the daughters of wealthy people, used to use it to smooth out the skin. Shemar Sinai, and after they used their whatever they used to take off the excess hair, the leftovers were used Lebnai Saniyim for the poor girls. Aini, says the Gemara, for Tana, Rav Chia said that when we want to remember the seven types of chametz that were mentioned in our Mishnah, Arba Mina Medina, four are used by people, regular people, Vishloisha, and three are used as a umnas, only by professionals. V. Amrit asked the Gemara that this Koyon Shasoifrim is Tfulin Shabnei Ashirim, my mini umnasika. Why is it considered a tie in the group that are used by professionals? Elamai, what are you going to say? Pur de Shkufi. We're going to say that it means the glue used by the leather workers. Amai Karla Hai Koyon Shasoifrim. So why is it called Koyon Shasoifrim? Koyon Shatsanim Ebayalei. Amravashil Oilam Pur de Shkufi. It is the leather, the glue that they used. But my carlay, the carlin shall cipherim, the cipherim nabigubam near same. When the cipherim prepare paper, they use this glue. But all the, we shine them and explain that the glue is only a problem when it's in pure state of glue. But if somebody made paper and he used this glue to manufacture the paper is not considered a problem on Pesach.